Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
I want to bring you to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 1, and we'll read 5 through 7 and then 10 through 11. It is on the screen if you need it. I'm going to read it very quickly for the sake of time. It says, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles. Say, surviving elders. Anybody feel like you're just surviving? Anybody feel like you're just doing your best to survive? That whole thriving thing, that's just an image of what you hope. But right now you're doing everything you can just to survive. Maybe you've been there, where you were in those places where you were doing everything you could just to survive. And you know exactly, you can empathize with this right here. And to the priests, the prophets, and the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear and sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. My title for you this morning is Destiny Awaits Your Arrival. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through me for these people, not on my behalf, but God, because there's a need in this place. Father, I pray that you would empower me to do things beyond my own capabilities, beyond my own education, beyond my own understanding and life experiences. Father, I pray that you would empower me to be able to speak a word directly to their home, to their life, and their family. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Destiny awaits your arrival. Let me tell you a story this morning. Gallery owner tells one of his artists that he's got some good news and some bad news. And the artist asks for the good news first. He says, well, he replies, the good news is that a man came in here today asking if the price of your paintings would go up after your death. When I told him they would, he bought every single one of the paintings. Elated, the artist asked, what could the bad news possibly be? Well, apparently that man was your doctor. You see, the enemy in this world, we call him Satan, would have you believe that good news only comes with and at the expense of bad news. That they go together. But see, God's message to you disagrees. In fact, it defies the negativity of Satan and says negative circumstances do not mean that your destiny is over. In fact, God's message is the antithesis to that message, and that is your negative circumstance most likely is a part of the plan towards your destiny. The word declares God's message of good news to the world, and I'm here to tell you that if bad news should find itself knocking on your door, don't worry, because God can and will use it in an amazing way for His glory. Sure, the doctor may have said, the lawyer may have said, your friends may have said, your enemies may have said, your spouse may have even said, your children may have even said, your neighbors, your parents, your teachers, your professors may have said one thing or another. They may have said, I've got bad news for you, or you'll never make it, don't worry. Maybe you should try something else. This is not your destiny. They may have said all of those things, But God says that it doesn't matter what they say. The only thing that matters is what I have said. What they say is not correlated to you obtaining your destiny. But it's about what I say, you grabbing a hold of it, and you saying it. Psalms 107, 1 through 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from trouble." He doesn't say, let your doctor say it. Let your lawyer say it. Let the negativity say it. Let your neighbor say it. Let them say it. He says, you say it. In you are the keys to life and death. In the power of your tongue is the power for life and death. Don't worry about what they have spoken over your life. Don't worry about the time that they had said this was the end. I said, you're redeemed, so you speak to this. In our text, we have a scenario of two conflicting letters to God's children. Now, you have to understand that during the prophets of Israel, and specifically during this time frame, the prophets would write one sermon and speak it, and then a false prophet would speak a sermon against it. They were two conflicting sermons, but in this case, two letters are written. And what happens is Jeremiah is writing a letter against Shemaiah, who is a false prophet in the time of Jeremiah. Both of them have said and declared that they had a word from God for the children of Israel. Shemaiah's letter was a letter of doom and gloom, and Jeremiah's letter was a letter that reaffirmed the destiny of the children of Israel. Shemaiah lied to the children of Israel, and Jeremiah writes a response to the survivors. He says, I empathize with you, you captive people of Judah and Israel. You see, he understood that they were doing their best just to survive, and that many of them had lost all hope and had even developed a feeling that their destiny as God's children was over. You see, they had believed this because a false prophet had told them that because of their poor choices, God was through with them. How many of you have ever heard somebody tell you, well, you messed up so much, there's no way to come back from that? Or maybe you have developed a mindset that if you have went so far, it was impossible for you to ever regain what you have lost. Jeremiah tells them that this is not true. Jeremiah does not disagree that poor choices had brought them to their chains, but added that the chains were only temporary. That this was more of a distraction than an end, and that once again God would bless them in the midst of their trouble, just like he had done many times before. I want you to know that I'm here to speak to somebody this morning. That if you found yourself in a situation where you feel like your destiny's over, don't worry about it. You feel like your destiny's been canceled, don't give it any sense. Don't give it any time. Don't worry and fret over it. Because there will be many times in your life that somebody will come sow a seed of discord or a seed of negativity in your life and tell you that it's over, that there's no opportunity, that there's no way you can get out of this. But you need to remember that you are placed in the hands of a loving Father who not only loves you, but keeps you. And that when in his hands, yes, you may fail. Yes, you may falter. You may even make some poor decisions at times. But if you retrack yourself and get back in line with him, he will never reject you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he will not cancel your destiny. Your destiny only awaits your arrival this morning. You see, Jeremiah gave this same word over 2,500 years ago to God's children, and that word is still true, that your destiny's not over, it just awaits your arrival. that the path that you're on is not a diversion, but the path that you're on leads to your destiny. That yes, you may have made a poor choice, or other people may have made choices that were poor that caused you to get into this situation. But just because that has happened doesn't mean that it has stopped your pathway to your destiny. Yes, the pathway may be different and longer and may cost you a little more, but nevertheless, you will still arrive at the destiny that God has placed you on. Jeremiah assures God's children with some biblical principles that if followed will help them overcome the fears and anxieties of their present circumstances. Number one is, he says, let God prosper you in the midst of your defeat. You see, too many times we get caught up in the current situation. Too many times we get caught up in our circumstances that we let it overwhelm us. That we can't see the next thing in front of us because we're too focused on what happened yesterday. We've got to stop focusing on what happened yesterday. You've got to stop focusing on the fears and anxieties of what happened before. It's about time that we start living in the moment. And start saying, God, what are you going to do? What are you doing in this right now? What do you have planned for me right now? In the midst of your defeat, you can find it difficult to just do the simple things in life. You ever notice how the fears and anxieties that they come over you over something, sometimes it can be small and sometimes it can be great, will stop you from doing the things that are just simple, your day-to-day activities. Your loving of your spouse. It may stop you from folding the laundry. It may stop you from doing the dishes. It may stop you from getting up and going to work on time. It may stop you from making sure you take care of yourself. You might start to find yourself start slacking off in your health. All of those things happen because you get caught up in the circumstances you're in. And God says, listen, don't let those circumstances lock you in that. You can still prosper in the midst of all this, in the midst of your chains, in the midst of those things that are around you, you can still prosper. Jeremiah 29, 5 through 7 says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for there in its welfare, you will find welfare. In other words, he says, look, he said, I'm going to take care of you right there. He says, I want my people to have a countenance on them that says, yeah, you may have took me out of my homeland. You may have distracted me in the midst of my destiny. You may have got me off course, but I'm still going to be wealthy. And guess what? Because I'm wealthy, because I'm whole, because I'm prospering, you're going to prosper too. And you're going to have no way of saying that it was by any other chance. But just by me being here, you're going to say, your God's real. Your God's true. Your God's pure. In your God will I serve. I believe that there are some of you in this place that you are caught up right in the midst of this situation just for other people. Just for them to see what God can do in their life. You're wrapped up in a distraction that you don't even understand. You're wrapped up in something that has caused you to get off course, and you're saying, my God, what have I done? But God's saying, look, don't worry about what you've done. Look what I'm about to do. Because what I'm about to do is I'm going to bless you and all the people around you, and they're going to look to you and say, my God, what has happened in your life? Jeremiah tells them, prosper where you are. Just because you're trapped in a circumstance that isn't ideal doesn't mean you can't prosper. Jeremiah says to learn to embrace the moment. He says, yes, it's not your home, but you might as well make the best of it. You might as well put a smile on your face. You might as well say, you know what? When I wake up this morning, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. Oh yeah, it looks like everything's going down. It looks like everything's going getting away from me. But I'm telling you, God's doing something in my life. It's not me losing it. It's me gaining it. You just you haven't seen it yet because my destiny is awaiting my arrival. All I have to do is show up. This is just a process to get there. Nevertheless, I'm still getting there. He says, multiply there and do not decrease. You don't have to shrivel up and be crippled in the midst of your situation. You don't have to lose it all. I tell people this all the time. One of the most overlooked things in the prodigal son story is that the Bible says that there was a famine in the land. It says that the son did not go very far off. So in other words, he's in the same place. Yet the famine is in the place, but the father, when the son returns home, still has a fatted calf to sacrifice. Still has a coat to put on his body. I want somebody to get this today. Just because your prodigal hasn't returned, just because your promise is left, doesn't mean you got to lose it all. You can still have a coat in the midst of it. You can still have a ring to put on his finger. There could be something left. Listen, you may have lost half your inheritance. You may have already given it out, which is crazy to begin with. But you may have already given it out. But when he returns back, he's going to see that God never left you. God never forsaken you. He's going to see that God continually promised what he gave you. Still gave what he promised you. He's going to see that God kept blessing even though he was distracted. He still had a fatted calf to sacrifice. He still had a coat to put on his son. You don't have to lose it all in the midst of your trial. Just because the chains are on your arms don't mean they have to be in your mind. Paul and Silas are chained and bound and they begin to sing and praise God. You can do the same thing in the midst of your situation. Number two is don't entertain false dreams. How many of you have ever known people that they're 40 years old and still living at home with their mama? And they say, yeah, this thing I'm doing right now is going to make me a millionaire. It's the next big thing. I'm telling you, I've got ideas that you wouldn't believe. And yet they're still living at home with mama. Don't entertain false dreams. God's not saying I'm going to give you something illogical. He's not saying that, oh, yeah, for you to just ignore what's going on. He says, no, I've got a dream for you. I've got a plan for you. But you're going to have to do something in the process. He says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets, your diviners who are among you, deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. In other words, he's saying, don't let them tell you that this is going to be easy. Don't mistake that. Don't let them tell you that it's going to be so wonderful and so great and so awesome. No, listen, it's not going to be those things. But Jeremiah doesn't buy into that argument, but he doesn't buy in the argument that they're going to lose it all either. He says, nevertheless, it's going to be difficult at times. Nevertheless, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to push through it at times. But I'm going to keep you in the process. Number three is, this is only for a season. God's promise never fails. In Isaiah 29, 10 through 11, very quoted, but it says, for thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah gives them a realistic timeline. He says, don't worry about your destiny. It awaits you, but you're going to be in this for a little bit. But don't worry, I'm going to keep you through it the whole time. I'm here to tell somebody, yes, you might say it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years before I'll ever get out of this. You might be trapped up in debt. You might be trapped up in a situation that you can't get out of. You're fulfilling a promise that you made that was a poor choice. But God says, listen, there's still an end coming. There's an end. It's coming. Yeah, it might take you a little bit. Yeah, it might cost you a little bit. Yeah, it might take you a little while and cost you a little tears and might even cost you some sweat and earned equity. But God said the promise is still on its way. He said, I'm going to give you something realistic, that you're going to be in this for a little bit. But God's got some big plans for you. His future and his destiny awaits you. So don't lose heart. I think it's so funny when people get, it's not funny, it's actually sad, but people be involved in something and they say, yeah, I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be a lot of hard work. And then about a couple months down the road, they're like, man, it's just so much work. You're counseling, premarital counseling for couples, and you tell them, listen, marriage is work. Oh, yeah, we know. It's work. And you know that sometimes feelings are going to be up and down. Yeah, we know it's going to be up and down. They get married. 6 years later, marriage is work. Our feelings are up and down. One minute we love each other. Next minute we hate each other. One minute we want to eat each other up. The next minute we wish we had them. Yeah. I think God sometimes looks down and just says, oh. It's work. Those things are work. Listen, being a boss, everybody thinks it's excellent until you're that person. And then they're like, man, this is a lot of work. You thought I just sat behind a desk all day and just, you know, kick my feet up and watch, you know, videos all day? No, it doesn't work that way. When you're a boss, it rises and falls on you. Period. I tell people, when at one time I had 17 employees working for me, and I know many of you have more and so on, but they say, I just got this to work. I've got this on my mind. I said, listen, I've got 17 families' worries on my mind. That if I can't make payroll, 17 people go hungry. 17 families go hungry. It's work. Nobody says it's not. So don't have unrealistic expectations, but God's promise still is true. And even though it is work, and even though it may be costly at times, and even though you might have to bounce back and bounce forward and bounce back and all that, and it feels like you're in a pinball machine all the time, sometimes it feels like everybody's using you for their punching bag, but you know what? One day you're going to step up and you're going to look back and say, God, look what you have done. Is there anybody in this place that can say, I will not get distracted in the midst of my pathway to my destiny? That I know it might be work. I know it might even be long. But God's promise will never fail. Then the fourth principle, he says, you will find God in all this. You see, the biggest fear that you're about to face, your trial that you're in, is that most of the time, that fear is that you're going to face it alone. That's the largest, that's the most overwhelming thing about anxiety, is that you feel like you're in this by yourself. And that's usually why it ends up in divorce. That's usually why it ends up in mental breakdown. That's usually why it ends up in suicide. Can end up. It's because the person never understands they can cry out. They can reach out. But they bottle it all up and hold silent and don't say anything because they fear that they're alone while the precious Heavenly Father's looking over them and saying, just cry out. Just ask, I'll be there. Just seek, you'll find me. Ask and you shall receive. I'm here for you. I love you. I want you. You won't be in this alone. You won't go through this alone. That in the midst of your situation, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of your pain, your Heavenly Father's looking down and saying, I'm here with you. Though you make your bed in hell, I'll be there with you. Though you find yourself in the middle of the desert, I will be there with you. When you're only leaning on manna and a pillar of smoke and a cloud and a fire to direct you, I will still be there with you. When you have no sight spite of where you're going, I'm there with you. When you feel like everybody's left you, I've not left you because I love you. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you to exile. Jeremiah doesn't deny the circumstances, but he says they may have been a result of your poor choices. But I affirm you that poor choices are not. God is still faithful to his children. And if his children call on him, he will answer them. I don't care who you are in this place. I came here for somebody this morning to let you know that in your situation, that in your distraction, that in this place of desolation, God is calling on you and saying, just answer my voice. I'm here for you. Somebody's going to get it this morning. Somebody's going to get their vision this morning. Somebody's going to reduce the distraction this morning, because God is calling on you. He is shaking you. He is pleading with you. He is saying, I'm here for you. Just reach out one more time. I'm going to save you. He is faithful to his children. He loves you and desires you. He says, in the midst of all of this, I'm here for you. In the midst. Number five, God will take care of your accusers. Stop trying to fight every battle. Stop trying to right every wrong. Stop trying to chase it down. Stop going after every word you hear. God will take care of your accusers. In Jeremiah 29, 15 through 20, Jeremiah tells the people, don't worry about your kinsmen and those who don't know what it feels like to go through what you go through. He's specifically talking about those that are still in Israel and haven't made it into Babylon. And you have to understand, he's after them because the false prophets that were living in Israel said, this is because you've done this. This is because of that. God's done with you. God doesn't have anything for you. You see what happened here? This is all because of you. And Jeremiah says, yes, you messed up. But don't listen to them. They can't empathize with you. They don't know what you're going through. They can't feel what you feel. They don't know the pain like you know it. They don't know the sorrow like you know it. Don't listen to them. Don't let them distract you. Don't let them get you off track. Don't let them set you on a course that's not healthy. I'll take care of them. Jeremiah says, they have not paid attention to God's words, and they speak lies to you. But I'll take care of those lies that they have spoken. Number six is, you need to send the word that the lies stop here. And I'm not talking about every neighbor. I'm not talking about your loved one. I'm not talking about your kinsmen. God told Jeremiah, I'll take care of them. You need to say to the enemy, the lies stop here. The false word you've spoken over my life stops here. Every lie and deceit you've given unto me, it stops here. I'm done with it right here. Jeremiah sends this word to the false prophets. He says, send to all exiles, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah of Nehelam. Because Shemaiah had prophesied to you when I didn't send him and has made you trust in a lie, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah of Nehelam and his descendants. He shall not have anyone living among his people, and he shall not see good that I will do to my people, declares the Lord. For he has spoken rebellion against the Lord. Jeremiah says, by the way, you've slandered against God's children, so your legacy stops here. you no longer have the capability to produce. You no longer have the capability to multiply. Because you have slandered against my children. You have spoken lies against them. Today, your legacy stops. Somebody needs to tell the enemy, today, the legacy stops. Today, you stop producing. Today, you stop multiplying in my life. Today, you stop spreading like an infection. Today, you stop moving like distraction. Today, you stop growing in like depression. Today, your legacy stops. Somebody needs to get up in your spirit. Somebody needs to get up in your heart and say, today it's ending. Today addiction dies. Today cancer dies. Today the chains are gone. Today the lies stop. Today it's over. Today's the end. Today's your destiny's over, not mine. First Peter 5 and 8 describes Satan like a roaring lion. The Roman poet Ovid says this in his poem Tristia, Satis est protes leone, which is to say that the nature of the lion is to knock his prey down in intimidation, and that that alone is defeat. Woo! The lion's nature is to knock his prey down. And that just that brute force of intimidation alone is the defeat to the enemy. Somebody needs to say, you knocking me down's not my defeat. You knocking me back is not my defeat. You setting me off track is not my defeat. You causing me to relapse is not my defeat. You causing this problem is not my defeat. This moment of distraction is not my defeat. It may look like the end, it's not the end. It may look like it's over, it's not the end. Stand in this place, God is about to do something in your life. Spirit Life team, let me read you what the message says. The message says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not only the ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep firm, keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Come on, give him a shout of praise this morning. Somebody needs to give him a shout of victory this morning. Come on, if you need it this morning, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. I wish there'd be somebody in their spirit who maybe Satan's knocked you down. Maybe you feel like you've been distracted in the midst of your destiny. If you would come marching forward and say, he gets the last word, yes, he does. He gets the last word, yes, he does. Is there anybody in here that wants victory this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You need to say, children, you don't have it. Satan, you don't have my children. Marriage, Satan, you don't have it. Finances, Satan, you don't have it. Sobriety, Satan, you don't have it. Because today, he gets the last word. His word for me is, I've got plans for you. If you're in here right now, you're saying to yourself, I had plans. I had plans. This is not what it looked like. This is not what it looked like. I had plans for my children. This is not what it looked like. I had plans for my spouse. This is not what it looked like. I had plans for my marriage. This is not what it looked like. I had plans for my home. This is not what it looks like. I had plans for my business. This is not what it looks like. But God, Nevertheless, you get the last word. Amen. Come on, give them a hand clap of praise. As they're making their way here, those of you that are still in your seats, I'd ask of you that everyone would bow their head, close their eyes, that today, if your plans don't quite look like what you thought they would be, if maybe life has brought you a different path than what you thought it was going to be, and you're unsure, and you feel like maybe, God, did I do this? What's going on here? God's word to you is that He reaffirms you and loves you. And if that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. And I want to pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, we ask of you this morning that you would show us your plans. That when we wake up tomorrow, we wake up with a future. A future in our heart. A future in our mind. And a word in our mouth. Father, I declare this day that the enemy's lies stop here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Your destiny awaits your arrival. Be blessed. You're dismissed. We'll see you tonight for focus groups at 6 p.m.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.